Well, I'm going to continue with the series I started last week called Growing Into Your Destiny. And I'm really talking about growing up spiritually. For some of you who weren't here last week, let me review. Of course, the last week's title was God Wants to Show You His World. And God wants us to grow up so he can show us his world. 1 Corinthians 13:11, of course, is one of our base scriptures. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here, Paul's talking about growing up spiritually. And also, this is in, of course, 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is love chapter. But he's talking about walking in the love of God. And one of the signs of somebody that is spiritually mature or spiritually growing up is that they consistently walk in love. Now, our other base scripture is Ephesians 4:14-16. Ephesians 4:14-16. I'm going to read from the New King James, and then I'm going to also read from the New Living Translation. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, for whom is the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, the New Living Translation says it like this: We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You know, by these verses, we see that we no longer have to remain children, but that we should grow up into a spiritual grown person, mature, spiritually grown Christian that is healthy, growing, and full of love. And that is individually. And as we do that individually and come together, then the body of believers, we become healthy, growing, and full of love as a church. Now, in lesson one, you remember our main points was God wants you to grow up so he can show you his world. And then two, we must realize that it's beneficial to grow up spiritually. And three, do you know what God wants you to be when you grow up? Now, today's message or lesson, dealing with the stages of spiritual growth, we're going to talk about. Now, wouldn't it really be nice if you could just wave a wand like they do on TV and the movies and poof, it happens? Did you know that only happens in fiction books and make-believe movies? Have you ever seen a person, you know, that is really buffed? And I mean, man, they got good muscles. They got a six-pack. They're just, oh, man. And somebody said, I wish, in fact, I told a guy this. He said, man, I wish I could be like that. I said, if you get in the gym every day, you can. That's the way it happens. All right? You know, and I don't want to embarrass him, but my next oldest grandson, Blake, right here, he plays basketball for Summit Christian. And they just got out of their season, and I asked him, well, what are you doing now? And he said, we're in the weight room. And he was showing me how that it's already helping him, you know, because you got to be strong upper body. A lot of people think basketball is not, but you got to be strong upper body. When you get them rebounds, somebody trying to take away from you, you got to be strong. But it doesn't happen overnight. You don't grow up spiritually overnight. Being a spiritually grown up doesn't happen overnight. Is point one. Most of us want everything immediately because the society we live in is we're surrounded with convenience stores, overnight shipping, the fastest internet's around. The fast food restaurants. You go to a restaurant sometimes and you go in to see how long the line is, and if it's too long, you go somewhere else. Don't look at me like you don't do that. Everybody does. It's drive through everything now. But we must realize that the stages for growing up naturally and physically happen over a period of time. It takes time. A little boy had one of them worms we call a caterpillar. Woolly worm. How many of you have ever seen those? And so he put it in a jar and he kept feeding it and he was watching it. And all of a sudden it began to suspend a cocoon, and there it was in that cocoon in the jar. And days went by and the little boy, he kept watching it. And finally the cocoon started cracking open and he could see that the caterpillar had now turned into a butterfly, and it was struggling, trying to flap wings to break the cocoon to get out. So he thought he would help it, and he just went, he got it, and he broke the cocoon off of it. And he was so excited to tell his dad about it when he came home. And his dad said, "Well, it's good that you helped, but it's sad because, son, see, you didn't know this, but the struggling to get free from the cocoon is what builds the strength in the butterfly's wings so he can fly. And because he was not able to do that, now he'll never fly like other butterflies." You know, the truth is, sometimes we want God to get us out of some things, but we need the process of that. Now, I'm not talking about sickness and disease and all that, okay? But we need the process of some things so it helps us to grow. Anybody understand what I'm saying? I sure am glad that 75% of this congregation just lifted their hands and agreed with me. At least I got the majority. The truth is, in the process of growing up spiritually, we learn to function in what God has created us to be and learn to do the things that God wants us to do. You know, we need to be honest about ourselves and really know where we are spiritually. Come on now. Have you ever seen some people and people say, "Well, they're 30 years old, but they've never grown up"? Do you know that there are people that have been saved for 25, 30 years and they're still in the nursery spiritually? They're still baby Christians. We need to realize that many times God wants to lead us into some things, but he can't lead us there because we haven't grown up spiritually. You know, as we look at this, let's look at the similarities between physical and spiritual stages of growth. Now, you know, I highly recommend a book that is written, that I have written. No, my namesake wrote it, Kenneth Hagin, my dad. It's called Growing Up Spiritually. Anybody read that? Oh, lots of you have. I recommend, if you haven't read that, that you get it and read it. It's one of the best books on that subject that I have ever read. And I went to Bible school, and I've studied, And I have an honorary doctor's degree. I don't ever talk about it, but I do. And, you know, I do know a little bit. I mean, just the more I learn, the less I realize I do know. Actually, that, as I'll talk about that in a minute, but that's really a sign of that you're growing up spiritually. You know, and I had the privilege growing up in the home of my dad, and I watched him demonstrate the characteristics of a spiritually grown person in the middle of difficulties. I watched him walk in love toward his fellow ministers that were criticizing him freely and publicly, and they weren't holding back, spouting off of what they thought about him. And as I got a little older and got, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old, and all of you know that I'm a competitive person, and I didn't like them talking about my dad. And I wanted to go take them on. In fact, going back to the fourth grade, the first time that I ever got in a scrape with somebody, and I shouldn't have. If you got any of my kids in here, I shouldn't have done it, but I did. I hit him. It's because he said, because Dad traveled all the time. But, you know, from the time I was in the middle of my third grade year until I went off to boarding school in my junior year in high school, he was gone all the time. And this guy said, "Oh, your dad's just gone all the time. He just run off and left y'all." And man, I smacked him. Boom. And all these guys criticizing Dad and so forth and so on, I said, "Come on, you know." And then even later on, I said, "Dad, this is later now. I'm in my mid 30s working for him, and all of them they doing that." And I said, "I tell you what, Dad, let's rent a stadium, and let these guys that are talking about let them have half the stadium, and we got half the stadium." And we put out a letter, we want to, you know, and we, everybody that's been saved, healed, baptized with the Holy Spirit, blessed by your ministry, they line up over here. And these guys, three or four of them, they have all their people over there that they've been healed by what they're saying in their books." He said, "No, son, we can't do that." I said, we would beat them hands down." He said, "I know we would," but he said, "That's not the way you handle situations." Hello. You know, to grow up spiritually is to learn when just to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to let you take care of that situation." Now, it's not easy, because you're looking at a guy that I want to go do something about it myself. And I can. I know I can. But that's not the way it happens if you're going to grow up spiritually. See, you know, I'm going to mention some characteristics that are paralleling growing up spiritually and natural. Well, the first stage is babyhood, right? In babyhood, it's innocence. I mean, even spiritual Christians just getting saved, they're innocent and they're ignorant. And I don't mean that they're not smart, but they're like a baby. It doesn't know that it's not supposed to stick their hand in an electric socket. They don't know not to put their hand on a hot stove. They don't know about all this stuff that can hurt them. And even baby Christians are the same way. And if they're not taught properly to start with, somebody gets to them with the wrong doctrine, you can't ever get it out of them. It's very hard. And then, you know, in babyhood, if things don't go right, they get irritable, you know. They get irritable if they need their diaper changed. And so people that are young Christians and haven't matured, they get irritated at things. Hello. Then you got childhood, okay? Now, I'm not going, I could dwell on each of this, but there's no use in it. You understand it. In childhood, there's an unsteadiness. They toddle around, fall down, but they get back up and keep walking. And they're curious about everything. I mean, and anything they pick up, they put in their mouth. And even as they get older, they're in childhood, they're still curious about stuff. And sometimes they talk when they shouldn't be listening. Hello. And then you get into the adolescent years and the teen years, and it's a whole nother ball game. But do you realize we go through these same steps in growing up spiritually? How many of you've been saved for 20 years? Are you more grown spiritually and understand more about spiritual things now than you did when you, after the first 5 years that you were born again? Oh, yes. It's the same way. How do you learn to grow up spiritually? By listening to what the Word of God has to say, and by listening to sound teachers, not teachers that's going to lead you astray. And then, of course, you grow up into adulthood, and you learn how to esteem things. You learn how to put value on things. As you grow up spiritually, you learn how to esteem the things of God more highly than the things of the earth. You realize that praise can go to your head, so you just sort of have to become dead to praise. You have to become dead to criticism unless it's constructive criticism. Now, some people, they won't listen to anything, but there's some criticism that, you know, anytime anybody says anything about me, the first thing I do, and I guess that's a sign that you finally got a little bit of growth. I mean, you hadn't grown completely, but I guess, is I look to see, is that really true? And if it is, you need to change it. If it's not, you just need to be dead to it. Don't let it bother you, okay? And, you know, as you grow up in the natural, you begin to realize what your abilities are and all different things. And as you grow up spiritually, you begin to recognize God at work and the abilities that He's giving you to do certain things. Anybody understand where I'm coming from with that? Anybody get anything out of this morning? You know, as we grow up, our perspective in life changes. In the natural, it does in the spiritual also. You know, John Wesley said this, when I was young, I was sure of everything. In a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I was not half so sure of most things as I was before. At the present, I'm hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. You know, I think it was Mark Twain that said, you know, he thought his dad was the dumbest person he'd ever seen, and he became, when he grew into a man, he found out that he wasn't so dumb at all, after all. Any of you found that out? You know, we need to recognize where we are and when we are growing spiritually, just like we recognize when we're growing in the natural. You know, as you begin to look at some of this stuff, you know, and look at where you are, you need to ask yourself questions. You know, one of the best ways to analyze where you are, you ask yourself a question, in the natural, you have to do the same thing. You see some people that you're same age, you see them acting certain ways, and you begin to ask yourself, am I still that immature? Come on now, be honest. You know, we need to ask ourselves certain questions in the natural. I mean, in the spiritual I'm talking about. We need to ask ourselves the question, are you a natural person of the world, or are you a spiritual person of the Spirit? You can find the answer in 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now, the thing about it is, you know, where are you? You have to continually, if you're going to grow, you have to continually ask yourself where you're at and analyze yourself naturally and spiritually to get to where you should be. Another thing you need to ask yourself, are you a carnal person or are you a spiritual person? 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal. In other words, that's fleshly people. As babes in Christ. He said that a carnal person that's born again, yet they're carnal. They haven't put away some things. They're babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Now that's after a little bit. Now he's talking to the Corinthian church. And they had all kinds of gifts of the spirits in operation in their midst. You can sort of see how some people can have some things. But eventually he went on to tell them they're going to be judged if they didn't grow up. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Those are some good questions. I mean, just read the Word of God and you begin to see where you can see if you are spiritual or not. If you're all the time in division with somebody and all the time arguing and in strife with somebody, you haven't grown up spiritually. Hello? That's what Paul said. I didn't say it. Read it. Read it right there. Another question you can ask yourself. Am I constantly focused on earthly things and doing earthly things, or I'm focused on what God's word says to do? See, there are some people that are born again, but yet they're so focused on natural things that they haven't grown any spiritually. They're still in the baby nursery. You know, are you focused on the plan, on your plans, or on God's plans? See, then many people got their own plan. They got their own plan, what they want to be, what they want to do. You know, Holly Alvitre, as it sings up here, Joe David plays the bass. They go out with me on the road in the crusade, part of the crusade team. And she talks about coming to Rhema. I mean, she said, I had my life planned. My mama went to Rhema. I grew up in a church. I knew that. I had my life planned. I was going to go to, I was going to play basketball in high school, get a scholarship, go to college, play basketball, get my master's in business, and then go be an executive in a big company with an office overlooking the downtown area. And she said, that's what I did. I mean, everything was coming in line. I had the contract in my hand. I'd went for the interview. I had the job offer, and then she said, you know, something began to bother me. Is that really what I want to do? And you know, and she began to pray, and she found out God had a different story. Now she come to Rhema, and she goes on to tell the story and her testimony of how that now, because she had a master's degree, an MBA, a master's degree in business, that she, Southwestern Christian University, that has classes on its campus at night, she's able to teach there in that. So, you know, she had her life plan. I wanted nothing to do with being up here. I was born in the preacher's house, and I didn't want nothing to do with it. I wanted to be a geologist, a meteorologist, or a race car driver. I did get to drive my street stock. I owned a street stock back in the 79 to 80. Some of y'all probably remember down to Tulsa, I used to get to drive a little bit. Lynette didn't let me drive much, so I had to hire a driver to drive. I went to my first dirt track race and when I was 15 years old, and I've been hooked on it ever since. And one of my grandsons, my oldest grandson, Cameron, you know, that's what he likes to do, and his poppy likes it, and so I help him do it, and Nana doesn't like it that much, but it's what we do, and me and Craig and Cameron and Skyler sitting there. He's sitting over there. He's the third grandson. Well, I got five of them. And he goes out there, and we like him to go because every time his brother comes in off a track, he keeps that car clean. He gets that rag and that polish, and he starts keeping that car clean. But, you know, I wanted to be all that, one of those. And then as I got older, I realized I didn't want to be a meteorologist because they don't ever know what's going on. They just think they do. Sorry, Travis. Travis Myers from Channel 6 is a friend of mine. He's the meteorologist. How many of you know Travis? I'm sorry. But they do the best job they can with what they got to operate with. And then I decided geology was a good one because you made a lot of money because you go out and find oil. But, you know, then I'm at a youth camp, and God began to get a hold of me. And now here I am. Now, why am I telling you all that? Well, you need to stop and realize all your plans may not be what God wants. And when you start to grow up spiritually, you can put your plans aside and go with God. I guarantee you there are a lot of people in this room today, you are where you are, you plan to do something else, but because of God, and I'm not talking about just preaching, I'm talking about because God wants people in all areas. He wants doctors, lawyers, mechanics, everybody. He wants everybody. How many of you are in an area because you had another thing planned, but God sent you a different direction? Let me see your hand. Hello? You know, I hope Charlie don't mind me. Charlie Daniels, he built this church. He came, he was in the building business and just walked away from it. Very successful, building hotels and everything, houses and everything. And he came to Rhema, went to school at Rhema, and he really didn't understand why he's doing it. He went to work for me, and he built a lot of here, built this church, built a lot of buildings around here. And now, see, God had him on a course. He didn't realize it. And now that's what he does is build churches, mostly. Now he builds some other things, but mostly he's going around building churches. See, he had one idea, God had another. We need to realize that it's good to plan, but when you plan and make sure it's what God wants. Now, there's a lot of people that want to be a preacher. More power to you. Let me tell you what, unless God really called you, then forget it. It's not as glamorous as everybody makes it out to be. You got to get tough skin and tough hide because they're going to barb you, and you just got to forget it and go on. No, really, what I'm trying to say is as we grow up spiritually into the fact that then we can put aside what we want and do what God wants. You know, you can see people that are fighting and doing what they want when God is trying to get them to go another direction. You know, there's great benefit in growing up spiritually because it helps you to get where God wants you to be. God doesn't want a bunch of clones out there. He don't want any more like me. One's enough. He don't want any more of Kenneth E. Hagin's because one of those was enough. He don't want any more of you. One of you is enough. But I want us to go back here, and I want us to look at this scripture in Ephesians 4. We are no longer immature. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation because it's a little more like we talk today. We are no longer immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies and so clever sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body of church. Now, here's where, see, when you begin to be mature spiritually, then he makes the whole body fit perfectly together, and each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. You see, that's where, as we begin to grow up spiritually, then we all begin to get into different positions in the body of Christ, and that makes everything work. We got ushers here that have been ushers for years, but that's where they're working with God. We got people that have been working back there in the information for years. We got many of you that have been working for years in the children's department and the youth department. See, that when everybody gets in their place, fitting together, and it makes the whole body, the body of believers, this church. And when you grow up spiritually, then you get in your own self where you're supposed to be. Anybody getting anything out of this? You know, when you begin to grow up spiritually, your trust in God becomes more evident. When you begin to grow up spiritually, you quit thinking about what you want to do and you start functioning where God wants you to function. When you grow up spiritually, you are able to handle the crisis of life much better, and you're not going around saying, oh my God, what's going to happen? You grow up spiritually, you know you can trust God, and you say the Word of God is working, and I'm trusting Him. Hello? When you grow up spiritually, you are able to be solid and stable when any situation, trial, or whatever comes your direction. You are steady and not movable. You know, a person that's immature in the natural, they can be pushed this way and that way, and they, you know, whatever the leading person says, whoever they go that direction, this direction, you know. How many of you got teenage boys? How many of them found out every time somebody comes out with a new shoe, they got to have it? Huh? I mean, those kids, they come out, they got to have it. Well, they'll grow up one of these days and find out that their getting a new pair every year. Every year they're making a new pair so they can continue to make money. So, hey, if the other ones are good, well, you wear them till you need a pair. You just don't go spend money foolishly. But, hey, that's part of growing up. The same thing happens in the spiritual. We got to grow up. I believe that as we grow up spiritually, there is a life to be had where you will find the fullest expression of who God meant you to be, and then frustrations will fall away, and you will be glad that you did what God wanted you to do, and sometimes even pay the price. But man, you'll be happy. I am so happy that I chose to follow what God wanted me to be and not what I wanted to be. Today, I trust you got something out of this lesson and about growing to your destiny, but you can never reach your destiny with God until you understand the principles of growing up spiritually and its stages. It doesn't happen overnight. Okay? Next week, I'm going to talk about taking steps to growing up spiritually. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you that as we have spoken, I thank you that people have understood what we were saying and that they will take what we've said to heart. And I thank you that we will begin to grow up spiritually just as we do in the natural. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you got anything out of this today? Well, thank God I got part of you anyway. Everybody stand up, please. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus, somebody to rededicate their life, or somebody to have a no-so experience with God. You know, many people go to church today, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. They just go to church. Some people know what it is to accept Christ, but they're not where they should be. They need to rededicate their life. And then some have never accepted. You can't grow spiritually until you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, with you. Heads bowed, please. Anybody in this place this morning, you need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You need to have a no-so experience with God. I want to pray for you. Would you just slip your hand up anywhere you're at? Anywhere you're at, just slip your hand up. Anybody, anywhere. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Is there another hand anywhere in the room? A hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Over here. Thank you. We also believe in being filled with the Spirit around here. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you might be here this morning and you say, I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And I want that to be filled with the Spirit. Let me see your hand. Anybody here want to be filled with the Spirit today? Hallelujah. Yes, hand over here. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to go down front. I want you to come down here. I want to shake hands with you. And I want to pray for you. So if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, step out and come now. If you don't want to come by yourself, ask somebody with you there. They'll walk you down here. You won't have to walk by yourself. Come on, right now. Come on. If you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, come on. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. If you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, come on. Just come on right here. Just come on right here. Come as you are. Hallelujah. Just stand right here. We're going to wait for the rest of them to get here. Right here. God bless you. Come on. Bless you. Thanks for bringing. You can stand with her. Come on, man. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you, man. Just stand right here. We're going to wait for everybody to get here. Anybody else want to come? Come on. Bless you, young lady. Thanks for bringing her. You're never too old, never too young to come to Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Come on now. Anybody else coming? Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey guys, you're just standing here. Look at my dream. I got a book called In Him, New Birth, and Why Tongues, talking about the Holy Spirit. If I said I'm going to give you these books and I reach them out here like this, what do you got to do to get them? Somebody show me what you got to do to get them. That's right. You got to reach out and grab them. You reached out first, you got them. They're yours. Hey, all y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just an exercise I do. I can't give you what you come down here. It's a spiritual thing. It comes from God. I can give you a book. And y'all are going to get those same books in just a moment. But I want this congregation to pray for you, and I want to pray for you. But I want you to reach one hand toward heaven and you say, all right, with my hand, with this uplifted hand, Lord, I'm reaching up to get what I came for. Just raise your hand right now. Pray with them right now. Reach your hands toward them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. I thank you for salvation, rededication, no-soul experience with you, the blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me, please. I want to ask you to go to a place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth, and y'all can get them books. And Brother Greg right there is going to take you to that place of prayer right now. Would you just turn and go there with him? Just follow him to that place of prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Pray, lift your hands and thank God for these that come. Thank God their lives will change. They'll never be the same again after today. That's what it's all about right there. Hallelujah. We have somebody that has written in from France requesting prayer for a church building. Let's reach our hands back there and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Christine in France that is requesting prayer for a church building. Father, I thank you that you'd open the way, open the doors. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you have a count of how many was with us today? 618. Besides what's in this auditorium, we had 618 people. Here's where they were from. The U.S., South Africa, France, Argentina, Iraq, Malaysia, Qatar, Romania, Brazil, Canada, Ghana, Germany, Philippines, Nigeria, Taiwan, Israel, Mongolia. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm glad they got that where they can do that now. Y'all glad they got that? Hey, we're all over the world, people. We're touching people all over the world. Amen. Somebody said, well, you know, why don't you pay all the money for that equipment? Hey, and we've got to upgrade some of this equipment, but just one soul finding Jesus makes it worth it. If you're watching out there right now and you say, I need to rededicate my life to God, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I need a no-so experience with God, I want you to reach your hand out toward that screen and say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, y'all repeat it here in this church. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he rose from the dead. And you said in your holy word that if I would believe in my heart those things and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that I would be saved. I thank you now. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a new person in Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with us, there's on that screen, just write and tell them about it, and we'll send you some books and stuff, okay? You have to give them your address. All right, praise God. Hallelujah. We got a testimony just the other day. I meant to bring it to, I read it when I taped television. We had that testimony just here a while back. In Kenya, a guy was watching us, and he said he wanted to go to. Go ahead, you got it.
Hello, yes. There was a guy, and he was watching our Rhema Praise in Kenya. And at the time that he was watching it, it just dropped in his heart, I need to go to Rhema. But he didn't know how on earth that he could go to Rhema.
Or
even where it was there in Kenya. When all of a sudden I don't know whether it was months or weeks later, he was driving, and all of a sudden he saw the sign, Rhema, Kenya, there in Kisumu.
Wait.
Hallelujah.
What did you say?
It was 10 years later. Oh, I didn't know. He did not say that. 10 years later. So don't give up.
See, Vidar is ahead of the Kenya, Rhema Kenya. Praise God. I tell you, people, we're touching the world. Hey, let that globe down before we go today. And we're just going to pray for the world. This is our world. Hallelujah. If you were here at Winter Bible, you saw the maps of where we're touching the world. Hallelujah to Jesus. Turn them lights on. Hallelujah. Reach your hands out as we're going to pray for all of our Ramas and our team, our mission teams, and everybody. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're being able to touch the world from right here in this campus. I thank you for all the Ramas around the world, all the churches that are underneath us around the world. Father, bless our mission teams that they're wherever they're, as they're there in Peru, in Colombia, and Thailand right now. I thank you that you'd bless them, touch them, Father. Give them opportunities to witness. Thank you, Father, for our servicemen from our church right here. We pray for them, but we pray for all of our servicemen. We pray for all of our leaders. You said, pray for those in authority that you might lead a quiet and peaceful life. We do that today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Praise God. We are touching the world. Hallelujah. And this is the base right here. This is the base for everything that's going on around the world. Thank God for others. We're not the only one, but we're Rhema. The Rhema family is touching the world. We're the Rhema family. There's others that are doing things. Thank God for them, but that's what we're doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Tonight, right here at 6 o'clock, come expecting, come believing. All right. Connection team, would you get in the aisle and go get those first-time guests? Take them to that connection room right now where they can get that special gift that we got. And it's not just a little CD. It's a real gift. I'm going south today. Bill's going to the east. Marvin's going, Malia going west, and north is Bob and Dana going north. Hallelujah. We're a little short today with everybody, with Craig and Tad being gone. But praise God. Have a great week. Wednesday night right here, 7 o'clock. Next Sunday morning at 10. Tonight at 6. We sing a chorus to let me get out. Everybody else already gone. He'll dismiss you. All right, we'll see you. God bless.
I know who I am. I know.